everybody, this is Justin Case. I'm your host, Case in Point, episode 28. This episode is very special. I have my first celebrity guest of the podcast. He played Johnny Cage, Sub-Zero, Scorpion on the first Mortal Kombat, and on the second one, he played Reptile Smoke, Noob Saibot, martial arts master Daniel Pacina. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, I was going to ask you, what is it that got you into the martial arts, first of all?
My brothers, actually. I have two older brothers, besides Carlos, who is Raiden. I have two older brothers who my father thought it would be good for them to learn self-defense and discipline, and so he took them to judo. And back in the really early 70s, it was 1970, there was really no kids class. You had to be like 14 to be into martial arts. So it's not like today where you could take your 4-year-old or 5-year-old. You actually had to be like a teenager to take martial arts. So I was too young to take it, but you know, my brothers both quit it right away. But I just kept on, I was intrigued by it. I kept on asking my dad, oh, can take me to lessons, take me to lessons. So he took me to class, lied about my age, and I just stuck with it ever since.
Oh, wow. Yeah, my brother and I actually tried karate when we were kids, and we spent more time doing push-ups than we did learning any moves. It didn't last too long, so. What was it that, did it come natural to you, or did you have to really work at it, or?
No, I had to work at it, you know, but, I did love it, so, you know, even today I continue to practice, so it, for me, it just a way of life now.
Yeah, on your Twitter page, you're making regular posts, and it's really impressive. You got the classes and everything. I always wondered what happened to the cast of, you know, the original video games. When I was a kid, I'd go into an arcade, and it was the first time I saw digitized, you know, animation. And I was like, man, these are like real actors, real people. And when I saw that was you, I mean, Sub-Zero was my favorite character. It was just so cool. And what point did you get into using staffs, nunchucks, that kind of thing?
Nunchucks, I kind of self-taught for the most part. I just one day saw it in a Bruce Lee movie, Chinese Connection, and I just ran home, made myself a pair of nunchucks, cut up my brother's hockey stick, got in trouble for that. You know? Chopped a piece of chain, just kind of got some screws, put it together, and would swing those around. But yeah, so the weapons have always intrigued me.
So what's your favorite one?
Right now I like the spear, the Chinese spear, and the two-handed longsword.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw some of your students. They were doing some exercises with those. How many students do you have right now?
It varies. Like, classes always vary. I only teach like 2 or 3 classes a week. I do more private lessons. So,
okay.
You know, yeah, I have a lot of private clients.
Did you ever get in a situation being in Chicago? Were you ever out on the street where you're like, hey, this is a sticky situation? Did you ever have to put any of those skills to use?
You know what? I was a bouncer for a while.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
And you know, back then it was a little different than it is now. Before they were like, now you can't touch them, but before, like, well, don't hurt them too bad if, you know, you're throwing somebody out. So it's a little different, but yeah, I actually have used some of it, for that.
Yeah. I would imagine that a lot of people, you know, your average guy who thinks he's a bully or something, he's not going to have any kind of skills. He's more of a brawler kind of guy. And, you know, they go down pretty quick if you know where to get them. So,
yeah. Yeah. It works pretty well.
So, how did you get involved with the Mortal Kombat series?
The creator of Mortal Kombat, John Tobias, and I, Richard DeVizio, Carlos, and the guy, and a bunch of us, including the guy who drew the first comic, Andy Kadulka, we used to play Dungeons & Dragons together when we were kids. So, years later, we still hung out and stuff like that, and then one day John called me up and says, hey, he goes, you know, I just came off of a game, and I want to do a fighting game. And John has always wanted to do, like, when he was in art school, he wanted to shoot us fighting. So he was very intrigued by that. So I was like, okay, what do I need to do? He's like, well, I have some sketches, and I need you to come in. I'm going to videotape you, and then I'm going to take my ideas and try to pitch it to my boss and see if he wants to make the game. So, you know, basically myself, my brother Carlos, who is Raiden, and Richard, who is Kano, went in and let John videotape us. So we would do, like, fighting with each other and just doing basic moves, including jump kicks and just, you know, a little of that. And so he took those ideas to his boss, and his boss was like, wow, he goes, this might be a good idea. And he wanted to hear more. So we got together with his boss and kind of pitched the game. And it was going to be a really low budget game at the time. So I insisted that the ninjas be Lin Kuei. I didn't want them to be regular ninjas. I was like, dude, that, you know, the Japanese ninjas already in every movie. It's the 80s, so
yeah.
It was really, really already in every martial art movie. There was kind of Japanese ninjas. So I was like, oh, these Chinese ninjas that are the Lin Kuei, and they kind of dress a little different. And John liked that idea, and he was like, okay, that's a really good idea. Let's put it in the game. So, you know, we got... took different comic books and different movies and kind of put it in the game. And in the end, the guy, the boss, heard it. And he was like, nah, I don't think I like this idea. I'd rather do a fighting game and try to get Jean-Claude Van Damme. So what we know as Mortal Kombat was dropped, and they tried to pursue Van Damme for a fighting game. But later on, that didn't work. And we went, John, you know, was like, hey, we did this work on this. Let's go back to our original idea. And his boss was like, sure, good. You guys do it. And if it turns out, you know, I'll help you guys do it. You guys do, you know, try to figure stuff out, because they've never done a fighting game or this type of game. So, so we got permission. John and I went to the studio for 3 or 4 days, 8 hours a day, trying to figure out what we wanted in a video game.
Yeah, I saw some of the behind-the-scenes footage online. You had to stand in a box, and it seems like every time you did a move, you have to, like, get your bearings and make sure you stayed within that box. Seemed like it was kind of a pain, huh?
Well, yeah, actually that box came out of John and I filming, because we didn't, you know, up to this point, I've done some films, you know, including Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, so I didn't. But when you're going to do a video game, it's going to be really only 2D. So a lot of the original footage that we shot was just recorded over, because we couldn't use it, but we learned a lot from it. So that box first started with a piece of tape, and then I do some moves, and John was like, well, we can make that a little bit bigger. And so I made it a little, you know, made the box a little bit bigger. And then those were like the foot stirrups. And then because it was a low-budget game and they didn't have lighting, we just were using overhead lighting. He's like, well, you could only go move this far, because the lighting will change your appearance. You know, so you can only go this far forward and this far back. And so I marked those off, and eventually it became that little box after about 50 hours of shooting. The videos that you see now I posted, they're my videos from the making of. I got about 7 hours. And they start from already 50 hours into it. We already had like 50 hours of movement into it. And then, at that point, John's boss, Ed, came in and tried to help us figure out what would work best for the game. I learned a lot about making a video game. I did not. There's certain hitboxes to get certain reactions, so we had to take techniques and make them longer or kind of shorter, shorten them up, or, you know, make sure that, again, because it was a 2D game, to make sure that, you know, people would get an idea of what you were actually doing.
Okay. Yeah, I saw also that you had some stairs that were used, and I was like, how the heck did they get these, you're in midair, you know, doing these crazy moves on the game? And I saw one, I think it was Kano, was on the stairs, and he almost fell backwards. You had to catch him.
Yeah, actually, too, again, but because we were just doing the game, and because it was overhead lighting, I would be doing jump kicks, and John was like, don't jump so high. And so you can't jump so high, because all of a sudden the top of my head and my eyes would be darker because of the lighting.
Yeah.
So he's like, so at one point he was like, can you jump slower? And I was like, really, John? I'm going to jump slower. There's, you know, I'm going to float. And then, so I looked around and they were working on a different game and I saw the staircases. And I was like, hey, what if I just did the, jumped up and then filmed me on a staircase? Can you cut that out and like put that into game? And he's like, oh, that's a good idea. So we just borrowed the actual staircase from a different game. And I thought it would be good because when you do a kick and you're sitting on a chair, it looks like you're sitting on a chair doing a kick. But because of the shape of the stairs, and you could teeter yourself on the stairs and make it look like you were actually jumping up in the air. They wouldn't be restricted. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. How did they go about, I mean, they probably had some fancy editing that they did back in those days, but I think it'd be kind of hard to make it so those stairs wouldn't appear. I guess you'd have to really, you know, look at, I guess the low res of those games back in the day, you know what I mean? You really wouldn't see it, but.
Yeah, we used John's dad's Hi8 camera, which was state-of-the-art back then. And then there was no Photoshop. So in order to, it would take a couple hours to actually cut out each of the character out of each frame that you needed to use. So it was like a real pain in the ass.
Yeah, well, in the, how did you do some of the spinning moves? There were some really crazy moves on there where, look, the character's spinning in midair. I think there was,
like a,
yeah, it was like one of the special moves. You jump up and you spin around in the air in like a ball, and then you shoot across the screen. How'd they do some of that?
Well, again, what happens is for that, I jump up, grab my legs, then land, then shoot again on the stairs, and then they'd add that together.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, because again, because of the lighting and the constrictions of trying to not, you know, move too far off a camera, because again, if you move a little bit towards the camera, you become bigger, and you, if you move away from the camera, you become smaller. So it was very important to try to stay in the box and not try to jump too high, which, you know, which again, it, that was a pain. But yeah, so we pieced kind of everything together.
Oh, okay. Was it kind of surreal, you know, at that time when we actually had arcades? I still have them around here some places, but seeing your face on an arcade cabinet, that was, you were on the side of that, right? The first Mortal Kombat game?
Yeah, I'm on the side of that, and my brother's on the side of the second one. It's actually really cool to see, you know, your face on the side of the game, and John asked me to do that as, like, thank you for doing the choreography for the game and putting things together for other people.
Was it pretty fun to work with your brother?
Yeah, it was. You know what? We not only my brother, but the cast of the first two games, we were friends before Mortal Kombat.
Oh, okay.
So during filming and stuff, we would always be goofing around. And I think that's why there's jokes in the game or things like that, because anytime we were together, we would always be, you know, we'd work on stuff, but we'd always tease each other or be like, oh, what a goof around, say, oh, we got to put this in the game, it's pretty funny, or, you know, so it was a really good time.
Yeah, I had one of the listener questions actually I had sent in was if you still keep up in touch with the cast members, and I mean, you're doing regular conventions, right?
Yeah. I started doing conventions, and then people started asking for some other of the people who shot the game. I was like, yeah, I could ask them, because, again, I knew them before MK, and I still keep in touch with them. So it just depends on everyone's job, regular job, 9-to-5 job,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, who goes to conventions or not. But, you know, I since I teach and own a school, a couple schools, it's easier for me to get away.
So it's probably safe to say you're a fan of the Mortal Kombat characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because they, you know, each character actually's personality is part of the actor who portrayed them's personality. We really didn't have any, we didn't really have a background story. We developed that while we were filming. So there was really no script, and we kind of act like oh, you're a ninja. Well, I don't want to be a regular ninja. Then we goof around and say, example is the original story while we were shooting was the ninja Scorpion and Sub-Zero are brothers. And John did it because one time me and Carlos were just arguing over, you know, we were talking about some goofy ass Dungeons and Dragons scenario. And we were arguing. He's like, oh, man, you guys are arguing. You know what? I'm going to make the ninjas brothers. And they're arguing in it. So, you know, it just reflected on what we were shooting at the time. So a lot of the things that for the first two games, the storyline was actually what was happening while we were filming.
Okay. Well, I never realized that there were specific types of martial arts being employed. So you said, I can't remember what style you said you were using. There was a type of ninja that you wanted them to be, but what was your favorite style to use on the game?
Actually, that was part of like one of the best parts of making MK1 and 2 is like, if you really look at the game, everyone fights a little bit different. Right. Like now they basically all have the same moves. But for the first two games, sometimes, you know, I would use a punch or a palm in a certain way, and then Rich would not want to do it the same way. He's like, oh, I can't do it that way. I want to do palm from a different style or do some praying mantis in it. So we were just borrowing a different look to make sure that each character fought in a different way. So because I teach martial arts, I got to switch styles, so, you know, I really enjoyed that.
How many different styles do you know?
Man.
I know that's a hard question to answer.
Yeah, I know about 10 systems of traditional martial arts, all what they all have in them, including their weapons. You know, some of them have 8 to 12 different weapons. So, and then they have about, some have, you know, about 8 to 12 different hand forms. So, you know, the complete systems, I would say about 10. Wow. About 10 complete systems. Yeah. And then again, other systems, you know, because I'm a geek for martial arts, so I like to study different styles or different, you know, aspects of the martial arts. So, yeah, a lot.
Well, that's the thing. You're doing what you love. And, you know, I could, you know, for me, when you're doing something you love, it comes easier to you because you're so into it. And that being said, you said you're into Dungeons and Dragons and think, are you still an active player in that?
Actually, no. But once in a while, we get together, go to my brother's house, and we play, we'll play Dungeons and Dragons, but the board game.
Oh, okay.
You know, where you have the tiles and you set them out. And that way the campaigns are smaller. You know, we can play, we play some of the Cthulhu games, Dead of Winter, just goof around. Just try, you know, I think it's more just us getting together and just playing games still. You know, even at our age, yeah, we still geek out over that.
One of my listeners that asked me, my friend Ponch, he's a contributor to my podcast. He wanted to know if you have any more of those signed autographs that you'd give away for Friendship Finishes and MK2.
Yeah, those are pretty popular at conventions. And two, it's actually my handwriting. In the video game, that's my handwriting.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so John thought of the idea. Oh, it'd be cool for Johnny Cage to have like in his friendship to be an actual autograph. A poster. So, yeah, it turned out great. It was a great idea. It's even popular today.
Well, did you expect the success that came with the Mortal Kombat games when you were doing it, or what was your expectation?
Well, originally when we were doing it, like I said, we pitched the game, and actually Ed didn't like the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, nah, I'm going to do a Van Damme game. I don't want to do that game. So when we went back to it, you know, as far as myself, John, Carlson, Rich, we were like, okay, it's going to be a small project. We're only going to make 200 cabinets, but we're going to make the best fighting game possible. So I didn't think it would be that popular because it was only 200 arcade cabinets. Needless to say, they made more of those. But we always knew that it was going to be a really good game.
What'd you feel about the movies when those came out, the first movie?
You know, I know most of the guys from the movie, and they're pretty cool, but I thought that I wanted to be more like a Jackie Chan movie than the Hollywood type of fighting movie.
Yeah.
So for me, even though I enjoyed the movie, I was really hoping that, again, it wouldn't be so mainstream.
Yeah.
You know, because the video game wasn't mainstream. I was like, man, they should have, you know, tried to make it more of like a Hong Kong type of, or now when you see the Indonesian films, I wanted it to be more like that. But, you know, Hollywood gets a hold of it and they wanted what they're used to doing.
Yeah, I would think that the game in order to, or the, excuse me, the movie in order to be true to the game would be a much more gritty movie. And I think that, you know, like you said, Hollywood, they have a tendency to kind of dumb things down and make it accessible. But, I mean, it's been a long time since I've even watched those. And I'm sure they probably don't hold up so well these days.
Yeah, Pete, when you get a little bit bigger in retrospect, things don't always seem as good as you remember. You know, really, really quick, Kung Lao, Tony, he used to collect comic books. So he decided to go out and try to collect a series. And then he goes, you know what, I collected a bunch of comic books. And then it came time to read them, and I read them, and I was like, man, they really didn't turn out like I thought they were. I remember these comic books being really, really cool. And now that I read them, he's like, man, you know, so he goes, I got all these series of comic books. And he goes, you know, I don't want to get rid of them because I'm a collector. But he goes, they don't, now that I read them, they're not what they used to be.
Yeah. It's always really a tough thing. If I'm a collector of comic books, I like to read them more, but a lot of my friends, they have got long boxes. Their basements are full of long boxes. The regular co-host of my podcast here, he's got, it looks like he's a beekeeper. He has all these long boxes.
That's awesome. That's
yeah,
awesome.
He's got a whole wall. So
yeah, it would be worse if it was video games. I have a couple friends who are video game collectors. Man, their basements and garages are packed. It's like, holy cow, God. Oh, I can't get rid of them. You know, but as long as I keep them in the basement and the garage, my wife doesn't say anything. So, you know, I'm like, holy cow, you're so, you're lucky. You know, does she realize how much stuff you have?
Well,
it's like, no, I don't let her come down here.
What do you collect? I mean, are you into collecting? Or I'm sure you probably martial arts, you know.
Yeah, you know, I used to collect comics, so I have just a few comics left. Not as many as I had before, but, you know, I collect, like, weapons, you know. I'll get, like, I have tons of swords, tons of real swords, tons of training swords, you know, different weapons. It's more of that now. But again, like I keep a few comic books. We were a big fan of, you know, a lot of people don't know. Everybody thinks that Johnny Cage is modeled after Van Damme, and in reality, Johnny Cage is modeled off of Daniel Radd from Iron Fist.
Okay. Oh wow.
So even his, if you really look at it, and again, because it was a really low budget game. I wore the spandex in honor of Daniel Radd, because if you look at his costume, it's kind of spandexy.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But it happened to look like Van Damme. So a lot of people, and too, a lot of like the higher-ups at Midway when they're making the game, they're like, oh, that's Van Damme. And we wouldn't say anything because, you know, they're the boss and we don't really want to say anything. But we're like, no, you probably never heard of the comic book Iron Fist. And Johnny Cage is actually Daniel Radd. So with the shadow kick, it's featured in, like, that type of kick is featured in the comic book. or the shadow elbow. He does that when you actually read them. There's clips of drawings of him doing it that way. So, your viewers now know that, everybody thinks it's Jean-Claude Van Damme, but really it's Daniel Rhett from Iron Fist.
That's fantastic. I was going to ask, let me think, along the lines of, like, obviously Mortal Kombat, it was a very gory game. Did you ever get any heat from anyone, like parents or anything like that, or like when it first came out?
Well, yeah, at the beginning, it was controversial, but two, we designed it. We were only going to do 200 arcade cabinets, so we never meant it to go to the home. That wasn't part of the deal. So when you go to arcade, you have a totally different, you know, type of people going in there.
Sure.
The older, they have their own quarters. You know, that you don't get an 8-year-old with a bag of quarters in an arcade at that time.
Yeah.
So again, we designed it really for that type of audience. So later on, when it went to home, people would say stuff, but I was like, yeah, but that's not, you know, how we made it. We didn't make it for home. You know, it happened to be so popular that people bought the right for it to go to home, but, you know, that's not how we envisioned it.
Oh, man, that's crazy, because I automatically assumed that it would be like, oh, Midway is going to be like, we'll have this go direct to home console, and we're going to market this thing, and, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is, somebody sent me a poster recently. They found a poster. It's really rare. I think there's only 4 or 5 available left in the whole world. It's us as together in live action, and I remember us doing this poster, and then when the poster came out and I looked at it, I was like, hey, you guys did this poster, but you didn't, like, it's what's our cut? Because you never asked for us you don't own the right to our image. So then they pulled the poster, and they were like, we're gonna go more with John's drawings. And I was like, well, even then, if you look at the original drawings and John's drawings now, he's kind of drawing us. So, again, we started getting into some negotiations of how, you know, because, again, we signed on for 200 arcades, and now they're going to blow it up into home, and they made over 10,000 cabinets and all this stuff. So we had to have our talk with them about all that stuff. So I think as far as us being more of our image, I think that would stop them from coming out with things that look exactly like us, that kind of look like us. But yeah, we sat down and took pictures for all the marketing stuff, and, you know, but when it came time to negotiate, they didn't want to put up any money. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like when you moved on to Mortal Kombat 2, you were working out. You had a little bit more. You're a little bigger in that game. A little more definition.
Yeah. Two, when I shot the first Mortal Kombat, we were just off the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies, and I wasn't yet going back to compete in martial arts. So it was kind of a downtime.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just kind of like a bodybuilder or somebody like that, or an athlete. You have your down seasons. You have your seasons where you're in training. So for MK2, I was already competing during that time. So, yeah, it was like more of like in season for – that's how I look when I compete.
Okay. So, yeah, one of the questions I actually had was in the Ninja Turtles movie, you were one of the foot soldiers. I had no idea. That's crazy. Were you the one that was that got in the nunchuck competition with Michelangelo? Was that you?
I think
it's in the second film.
Yeah. No, I wasn't at that point. They had some other guy do it, but I got to work with Michelangelo a little bit with the nunchucks, because when he saw me do them, he's like, "Holy cow! Because some of the tricks I've never seen those before." So we'd work out a little bit, but I didn't do that. But if you watch the film, you can see younger me roaming around in there doing some acting. So, yeah, it was a fun film.
Oh, that's great. What were some of the films where you're it's strictly acting? What were some of, what's kind of the catalog you've got for that?
Actually, I've never done anything strictly acting. Just some, lower budget films for friends who needed needed a martial arts. Oh, we need a martial arts guy. We're going to get, you're going to be our martial arts guy. Okay, I'll be the bad guy. Usually, typically it was the bad guy. So, acting like a jerk and pushing people around, punching people in the face, that type of thing.
What do you got coming up? Do you have another convention you're heading to or?
Yeah, I've got a convention in Virginia, West Virginia. It's called Classic Plastic, and you have a convention in Colombia, might have a convention in Norway. Got it right now. I have about 8. If people are interested, they could look me up. Facebook is Master Piscina, on Twitter it's Master Piscina, and on Instagram it's Master D Piscina. So, as the season progresses, I get more gigs. I think at this Classic Plastic, I am going to do a rope dart seminar dressed as Scorpion. So you'll be able to actually learn rope dart from Scorpion at Classic Plastic.
Okay. Do you have any advice for those that want to get into martial arts, finding a good school?
Yeah, I think as far as martial arts, it's really, you got to find something that you're kind of interested in, whether you're going to do it for sport or you're going to do it for the art of it. Because doing it for sport and doing it for the art of it are quite different. So you have to figure that out. And then if you figure that out, then you just get an instructor who you enjoy. There's no sense in learning from somebody who you can't stand. You won't like it at all. So, visit a couple schools, see what kind of atmosphere they have. It's, if it's something you like or want to be part of, then that's, really embrace it then.
Yeah, that was the problem my brother and I ran to. We tried, like I said earlier, we tried karate, but the teachers were just, they weren't likable people. I'll just keep it that way. And it was just,
that sucks.
They take it, they're so serious about it. And it was like, okay, we want you to do push-ups on your knuckles. It's like, lady, I'm 8 years old,
Yeah, exactly. And that's what the thing is. Like, it's exactly, people have to, I know that that's the, she sees it different, or different instructors see the martial arts different ways. Like, oh, I have to break you to build you, which is not really true, unless that type of training, when you're that young, 8 years old, is traditional training. But you have to remember, they were training you to go be part of an army, and you're going to go fight other martial artists. So you really had to be in really good shape, otherwise you die. It's not like sport. Like, oh, I won this guy this round, now I get to study the films, and I'm going to study your moves, and I'm going to come back and beat you. That's sport martial art. In traditional martial art, there's no rules, and they're really, people are shooting arrows at you while you're fighting somebody. It's like, it's death. So that type of training at 8 years old, I think she kind of had her timeline maybe messed up. In present day, they're not going to be shooting catapults at you, or guys with horses are not trying to mow you down with big weapons, big bladed weapons. So, and again, just try, people should just find somebody they'd like to do, like to study with. Or a place that's fun for them, or this place is slightly serious. Okay, maybe you want that. Maybe you're a little bit older and want to have that discipline or that mystique about it,
All right, yeah, well, I really appreciate you making the time. And
thanks, Justin.
Yeah, so that's going to just about wrap it up, guys. Again, it's been a real honor, sir, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Case in point, get over here.
All right, guys, that'll do it. All right, thanks a lot.